Good morning. Good morning. Well, it was a blessing to be here with the family at Parkman Congregational Church and to feel your love and welcome and just the faith that lives among you. There's a love here. There's a faith. There's an expectancy of God in your midst and a fellowship that is always sweet for me to participate in as well as observe. So thank you for inviting Glenn and me to share with you as we stand on the cusp of a new year, right? Keep enjoying Christmas, keep celebrating the birth of our Savior here the next few days. That's great, but obviously New Year's is knocking at the door, and it typically represents a kind of a new beginning. I don't know if you guys ever get into the resolution stuff and all that. Not many of them get kept, do they? But sometimes it's good to take inventory on life. Sometimes it's good to think about pathways that we've traveled this past year, and maybe things we didn't like or things that might be changed or things that beckon us to try something different. It's not wrong to have a line of demarcation that helps us think about our lives and take inventory on where we're at and where we want to go. And this passage in Joshua chapter 1 through 4 is just a really great opportunity for us to think about what it means to launch out into something new. Before we go any farther, though, let's pray, shall we? Father in heaven, we're thankful for your great love that comes to us each and every day. Thank you for Christmas and the special reminder that all of human history came to a wonderful ripeness and readiness for the Savior's birth there in Bethlehem. From a human standpoint, it seemed like circumstances had gone a bit funny as Joseph and Mary had to give birth to their firstborn in a place where animals hung out, some kind of a cave or place where they were cared for. And then the baby boy was laid in a place typically reserved for hay or straw or something for the animals. But Lord, all was as it was supposed to be, and you were weaving your plan and purpose into the events that we couldn't have imagined or totally understood at that time. Keep us mindful in our own lives that you are in control, that you are leading and guiding and orchestrating the circumstances of our lives so that we can fulfill your purposes. Help us to be willing servants, even as Joseph and Mary were willing to play their part in the Christmas story. As we think about what it means to launch out in 2016, we may not even have a clue what that will mean for us individually or maybe for the church. But we want to be open to hear from you and to see and to take steps of faith that obey your leadership in our lives. So help us to do that. May you speak to us now through your word. May you open our ears and our hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit that we really do hear from you. You're the living God, so of course we know you're going to speak, and we welcome it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, there's a little outline of sorts prepared in your bulletin. If you're one that likes to take notes or jot down something that the Lord may have spoken to you during our time together, please do that. If you're like me, you need all the help you can get in the memory department. But this is a great story. You know, Moses had passed, right? In fact, it tells us that in the very earliest verses of chapter 1 of Joshua. The Lord, the Bible says, after the death of Moses, the servant of God, the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River. Sounds simple enough, right? Moses is gone. But think about who Moses was in terms of his leadership, in terms of God's hand upon his life. I mean, there are very few in the history of humanity like Moses. He was an incredible leader. A man of God, an incredible leader. And now suddenly he's gone. The Lord has not allowed him to go into the promised land. And so he was taken away. And, you know, what was Joshua thinking? There was some preparation. There was some indication that he would follow Moses as leader, right? But what was he thinking? I mean, those are big shoes to fill. We could probably think of examples in our own lives. Maybe when we've had to fill in for someone who went before us. Maybe they'd been in that position for many, many years, and we just felt intimidated. We felt not at all worthy or capable of doing the job of that person that went before us. But once again, it's in the challenge of our own inability. It's in our own sense of unworthiness that we're reminded that we need to depend upon God, right? So usually those are good places for us to be. When you feel least able to fulfill your mission, that's when you really depend on God. And that's where God wants us to be. But we're getting ahead of ourselves a little bit. First thing we want to do is identify our mission. The mission for Joshua was clear, right? You're going to cross the Jordan River. You're going to go into the promised land that I've prepared for you and my people. There'd been a lot of talk about that. In fact, there was even a readiness to go into the land when they came out of Egypt, right? The 12 spies were sent, and they came back with a good report. And, you know, Caleb and Joshua said, what? Let's go, baby. Let's do it right now. But all the other people, they got hung up on a couple of stumbling stones, the giants in the land. After all, we felt like grasshoppers. It's a nice place to visit, but we can't go in there. It's impossible. And as a result, they were what? They were stuck wandering around in the wilderness for how many years? 40 years, yeah. Was that God's plan? Was that his purpose? No, it wasn't his first plan or first purpose. He had promised that he would take them in, that he would give them the land, but because of their unbelief, the generation would wander for 40 years until they all died out. And now we stand at a new beginning with Joshua taking the reins and Joshua ready to lead God's people into the promised land. So the mission for him was pretty clear. And God gave him all sorts of wonderful promises to go with that. But as you think about your own mission, and anytime we share God's word, I hope you're connecting the dots with your own life. This isn't a history lesson. This isn't just a time of telling stories about something that took place thousands of years ago. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to make application in our own hearts. Does God have a mission for you? I believe he does. You may downplay it. You may think you're not anybody significant, but God has a mission for you. I believe there's small and big things that God would have us to do. Sometimes on a daily basis, small things, but still important things for us to do. Sometimes God gives us a vision that takes us into the future by several weeks or months or years and prepares us for something significant that he wants us to do in the long haul. So I ask you, what is your mission? Maybe God will speak to you even in the next 20, 30 minutes as I stand up here and talk about what it means to launch out in 2016. Maybe the still small voice of the Holy Spirit has already begun to talk with you. What is God asking you to do? Are you asking him to show you? Are you listening? We talked about the hustle and bustle of the season, and Jim seemed ready to take a deep breath and enjoy this peace and quiet. Some of you probably resonated with his thoughts. But what is God asking us to do? And are you listening? Are you taking a few moments to just commune with him and give him the opportunity to speak to you in some unique and specific way concerning your mission in life? I hope that when you reach the end of the road, that you won't just have the feeling that you haven't done what God wanted you to do. You haven't fulfilled your mission. I think that's important to all of us, that we have a sense that our lives mattered, that we didn't just go through the motions of sustaining our physical lives and eating and sleeping and pursuing whatever moments of pleasure we could find. But I hope there's some overarching purpose. I hope that there's some mission as I said, on a short term, but maybe on a long term basis that God is calling us to fulfill. For Joshua, it was clear. God said, get ready to cross the Jordan River. I'm going to give you every place you set your foot. And so the mission was now in front of Joshua. Well, it was important for Joshua to remember God's promises, and it's important for us as well. There's so many promises. Anybody know how many promises there are in the Bible? Yeah, over 7,000. As you read your Bible from day to day, let me encourage you to highlight or underscore or take a hold of those promises that pertain to you and your life. They're for you. A lot of times we live in ignorance of God's promises, and therefore we forfeit the benefit of what God would do for us if we lay claim to those and make them our own. A father and a mother are always pleased when a young child remembers a promise that they've made and holds them to that promise until it's fulfilled, whether it's the promise of going to the ice cream shop or a piece of candy or anything that might be there to visit maybe grandma or grandpa. We're pleased to fulfill the promises that we've made for a child that asks us to do so. And God has made these promises because He wants us to live by them. Remember God's promises. In verse 3, the Lord says to Joshua, I will give you every place where you set your foot. That's a promise right there. Same promise He had given to Moses. Verse 5, no one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. Wow, what a promise. Doesn't mean he wouldn't face opposition, but that there was implied there a victory that God would give him. Another promise in the same verse, I will be with you. Then it's put another way, I will never leave you or forsake you. There's a promise of prosperity and success. And once again in verse 9, the promise that God will be with Joshua wherever he goes. So God has given us these promises that we might live by them, that we might hold on to them, that we might make them our own. It's interesting, as we read a little bit more into the narrative this morning, we'll see that Joshua sent spies into the city of Jericho, right? And there they were shown hospitality by a lady named Rahab. And she was very aware that the Lord was going to do some things that had big ramifications and consequences for her people and for the city of Jericho. And so she was more than anxious to seek shelter under the umbrella of the people of God and their faith, right? In fact, she said, please promise me that you won't do to me what's going to happen to the rest of my fellow people here in Jericho. And as a result, there was tied a scarlet cord on the window. And that was something that I imagine she gazed at every day earnestly as she thought about the impending, what was going to happen as the Israelites were to come and to conquer the city of Jericho. She was holding on to the promise, wasn't she? That the spies had made to her. That if that cord was tied on the window, anybody who was under that household would be spared. And so she lived by that promise. What promise do you need to hold on to this morning in your life? I don't know what you're facing, but I'm sure there are challenges. If you don't have a promise that you're holding on, maybe you need to go looking for one. As I suggested, I hope that you're taking time every day to read God's Scripture, whether it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, or whatever you can discipline yourself to do on a regular basis. It's essential to your faith. The Bible says faith comes by hearing the words of Christ. So something special happens when we allow God's Word to encounter us and to speak to our hearts. Faith is strengthened. Remember God's promises. Number 3, obey His commands. It's one thing to have a mission. It's another thing to hear God's word spoken to us, but then finally we have to make a decision, right? What are we going to do with what God wants us or has asked us to do? Joshua and his people had a big challenge in front of them that we'll talk about in a few moments as they prepared to cross the Jordan River. But sometimes as we obey God's commands, there are challenges that we definitely have to face. And I love it when Joshua reminded the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. We see that in verse 12 of chapter 1. He said, remember the command that Moses, the servant of God, gave you. Remember, these were the folks that wanted to camp or make their home on the other side of the Jordan, right? They were happy with what they had right there. They didn't necessarily want to cross the Jordan River to go into the Promised Land. They saw what was there as they camped on the other side, this side of the Jordan. They said, this will work for us. This is good, Moses. Can we have this land? And he said, well, yeah, you can stay put if you want, but when it comes time to cross over, your fighting men have got to do what? They got to join the rest of the people of God in order to help fulfill the promise of God for them and their families as they seek to conquer and go into the land. So Joshua reminded them of that. He said, you've got to cross over ahead of your brothers. You've got to help your brothers. And I love verse 16 where they reply, they answered Joshua. They said, whatever you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. It's a great verse to think about in our own lives, isn't it? Whatever and wherever. Reminds me of a group that works alongside of the mission that Glenn and I are with, One Mission Society, OMS. And there's a Men for Missions arm of the ministry of OMS. Men for Missions, that is laymen that are involved in missions around the world. And they make a threefold promise. It's to go wherever God wants them to go, to do whatever God wants them to do, and to give whatever God wants them to give. Well, we see two of those elements right here. Whatever you've commanded us, we will do it. And wherever you send us, we will go. I wonder if you'd be willing to make that kind of a commitment in your own life. Sometimes we put qualifiers on what we are willing to do in our lives. Are you willing to give God the blank check here in the coming year as you launch out into 2016? Would you be willing to say, whatever you've commanded me, I'm going to do it, Lord, and wherever you send me, I will go. Whatever you ask me to give, I will give. You know, a lot of people are searching for prosperity and success in their lives, and there's umpteen self-help books that have been written, right? Maybe you got some of them on your shelf, I don't know. A lot of us do. But if you want to know how to be successful, Joshua gives us the recipe. The Lord gives us the recipe right here in the first chapter of Joshua. He says, be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Don't turn to the right or the left, that you may be what? Successful in whatever you do. And then he says it again. Don't let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate it on it day and night so that you'll be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. I don't know how you define prosperity and success. Some people like to define it materialistically, yes. Have all the toys, all the goodies, all the things that they want for an affluent lifestyle. But I think success is rooted in the will of God and our willingness to fulfill the mission that God has entrusted to us. And so God promises as we are obedient to His commands that He will prosper us. He will bless us. He will make us successful in all of our ways. That's a wonderful promise for each and every one of us to hold on to. Well, let's move on to number four, that is to make necessary preparations. Somebody said, he who fails to plan, plans to fail, right? So, yeah, it's important sometimes to make the necessary preparations. And so God came to Joshua, and that's about the first thing he said to him in verse 2. Get ready to cross the Jordan River. There's things you need to do to get ready. So get on with it, Joshua. Come on, mobilize your people. Set into action that which needs to take place in order to get this amazing amount of people from here to there. And so as a good leader, he began to do that. We see in verse 10, he ordered the officers of the people, go throughout the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan. So there were necessary preparations that had to take place. Get your supplies ready. You know, there were other kinds of preparations he made. We see in chapter 2, verse 1, that he sent two spies secretly into Jericho, right? That was part of the preparations as well. Sometimes that's true for us too. There's the outward things that need to take place, and sometimes there's things behind the scenes that need to take place as we get ready to do what God wants us to do. Sometimes there's an incubation period, if you will, of fulfilling the mission of God in our lives. Think about Moses, who was the predecessor of Joshua. What an amazing life he lived as he was raised in the court of Pharaoh and then decided to throw his lot in with the people of God, even though it meant loss and being disowned by his father who had raised him. And eventually running for his life from Egypt into a new place where he found his wife and ended up tending sheep for about 40 years, huh? And yet that was part of the time of preparation that God had for him. That was the time of readiness when God would finally reveal himself to Moses in the burning bush and said, now's the time. You're the one. This is the mission. This is what I've been preparing you for, that you bring my people out of Egypt and into the promised land. And so you may think that at this stage in life, maybe your greatest window of opportunity is past you. Maybe your moment of greatest fruitfulness is already behind you. But how do you know that? How do you know that your greatest mission isn't yet right at the threshold of your life here and now today? And that what might even seem ordinary to you might in fact be the greatest legacy that you'll live and leave behind. Make the necessary preparations. The spies were sent into the land and confirmation was achieved. They came back and said, the Lord has surely given the whole land into our hands. And told the story of how they were received by Rahab and given a place to hide and to survey and to see the camp of the enemy in the city of Jericho. There's other kinds of preparation. Sometimes there's the preparation of the heart, right? In chapter 3, verse 5, Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves. Consecrate yourselves. What does that mean? Don't trifle with this moment that God is preparing for you. Don't think you can just live any old way you want to live. You've got to be a holy people. You've got to be set apart in order to do God's will. Don't think you can just compromise in every old way that you feel like and still be an instrument that God can use. Consecrate yourself. Set yourself apart to know and do the will of God in a way that's pleasing to Him. You say, well, Roger, then God will never use me because I'm so very far from perfect. Well, join the club. I'm definitely a member of that club. But there's forgiveness with God. And if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we need to maintain an attitude of humility, a posture of confession, of repentance, of admission that yes, we have failed. But yes, that's why Jesus died on the cross. That's why He sacrificed so wonderfully on our behalf. I'm not doing much with this thing, am I? But Maybe I can remember to move it forward when I need to. Make necessary preparations. What steps could you take this week to prepare yourself to obey God and fulfill your mission? You say, well, I still haven't figured out what my mission is yet, Pastor. Well, if you know it, great. If you don't, seek the Lord. Ask Him to show you. Maybe it's a small mission. Maybe it's to visit somebody that needs encouragement. Maybe it's to go somewhere and share your story of faith with somebody that needs to hear it. What steps could you take this week or this month to prepare yourself to obey God and fulfill your mission? Next, number five, expect challenges. It's interesting. About 4 months ago, we went to an Amish home over there not too far from our house on Bridge Street, and I'd seen a sign out in front of the house that they were selling Jack Russell puppies. And Emily was wishing much for a puppy the last year or so. And she knew that I was more willing than Glenn to fulfill that. So when I saw the sign, I pulled in and looked at the puppies, and I just about fell in love with how cute they were. And so we got Emily, who had finished up her cross-country practice, I think, that day, and took her over, and yeah, we ended up with a puppy. But in the meantime, I talked to my sister-in-law in Iowa, who had raised two Jack Russells, and I think we'd gotten online to see what they had to say about the breed, and it was a pretty sober assessment of the breed and what the challenges would be with a strong-willed, stubborn, and a whole lot more describing the unique traits of a Jack Russell. But the puppy was so cute. And never mind that stuff. But, it's been a challenge. What a challenge. We've seen a little breakthrough just in the last week or two by the grace of God. Maybe it had something to do with that surgery he had to change his male hormones a little bit. But we can expect challenges anytime we're going to fulfill the mission that God sends us on. You say, well, Roger, I've got all kinds of challenges just with my physical health. Too many birthdays, too many things going on in my body, which seems to be breaking down. Yeah, we face those. We do indeed. Sometimes they start a lot sooner than what we want them to as well. Sometimes we face relational issues with other people, don't we? I love the Church of God. It's the people that mess it all up. Yeah, there's going to be challenges. And, you know, what challenges are you facing right now? What's the biggest challenge in your path right now? What are your best options to overcome it? Are you just stewing about the challenge? Are you just moaning and groaning or criticizing or whatever about that? Or have you asked the Lord to give you some wisdom as you consider the options that might help you to overcome your challenges that you face? It's interesting that the Lord got His people ready to cross the Jordan River into the Promised Land at this particular time. Why is that? Well, the Scripture tells us, doesn't it? It says in chapter 3, verse 15, now the Jordan is at flood stage all during the harvest. So the Jordan wasn't a quiet little river at that point in its tranquility. It was a roaring river that was full of water. And I imagine if we went down to just a half mile or so from here, down into the ravine and took a look at that river, what do you think we'd see right now after all the rain that's fallen in the last several hours? Yeah, I bet it's roaring. I bet it's rip-roaring right now. You probably wouldn't want to cross that river. But God in His wisdom built into the challenge that it was going to be flood stage for the River Jordan. It wasn't enough that they had to cross the river, but they had to do it at the time when it was at its most flooded stage. Fascinating. The challenges will be there. The enemy will try to drive us away from the fulfillment of what God has asked us to do simply by putting in front of us the challenges. They will certainly come. That's where faith has to take hold. That's where we grow. That's where we learn to depend upon God and realize that what Jesus said is true. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Next, believe for God's miracles. Let's see if this thing moves. Oh, somebody moved it. Good on you. I love verse 5, and I think it might become a watchword for me in 2016. Chapter 3, verse 5, Joshua told all the people, "Consecrate yourselves, because tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." It's funny, I graduated from Oral Roberts University. Some of you didn't know that. First year was at Edinburgh University. I got saved the summer after that. Next year I was a Buckeye down at Ohio State. And then the Lord called me to prepare myself for ministry. And I had a friend that went on to Oral Roberts University in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So I transferred there. And they had a pretty good basketball team in those days. They got to the Elite Eight in the NCAA tournament. And on the side of the court, basketball court, there was written in script, big letters, "Expect a miracle." That was one of Oral's slogans, wasn't it? Expect a miracle. Well, that's basically what that verse tells us right here. It says, consecrate yourselves. Get ready, because tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Expect a miracle. I wonder how many of us expect a miracle on a day-to-day basis. There's all sorts of little miracles, aren't there, that we might not even consider to be miracles. I think there was a song that I like to hear from McLaughlin is her name or something. She sang about the ordinary miracles that are out there, right? But God's hand is upon us, and He will do amazing things if we put our trust in Him. And so Joshua went to the priests and those who assigned the task of carrying the Ark of the Covenant, right? The very presence of the God of Israel. Don't mess with the Ark. We see in the Bible different instances where somebody did the wrong thing with the Ark, and what happened to them? They didn't survive that. And so how'd you like to go into the Jordan River carrying the Ark of the Covenant at flood stage? Not a real good prospect of safety or longevity, right? But Joshua had prepped the people for a miracle. And we see that he coached the priests in verse 8 of chapter 3. He says, tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's river, the waters, I should say, go and stand in the river. Go right up to the edge of the Jordan River and then go ahead and take the plunge, step into it, and that's what you got to do. Do you think they knew what was going to happen? I don't think they did. Joshua told them the Lord will do amazing things. They must have been really hoping that that was going to be true. And I love it. In chapter 3, verse 15, there it is, flood stage. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. Boy, what's a greater miracle, the parting of the Red Sea or the stopping of the Jordan River at flood stage? Yeah, both amazing things that God did for His people to demonstrate His mighty power and His ability to work on their behalf. So yeah, the waters walled up. The waters stopped up the river a ways. And they were able to not only walk into the river, but a dry bed there where they stood and held the Ark of the Covenant as God's people passed by. You and I need to believe God for miracles. When do you see miracles? When do you need a miracle? Well, usually it's in the context of when you're in great need, right? When you feel like your back's up against the wall, when you can't see the way out, when you don't know what's going to happen, we're at your wit's end and you don't have a resource or a way out of what you need. And that's the opportunity. That's the time when we need to look to God for miracles, when we need to believe that God can do what we can't do ourselves. The Lord will do amazing things among you. That's God's promise through his servant Joshua. Do you see your own weakness and inability as God's opportunity to show you what he can do? That's what he wants. It's the only way you'll fulfill your mission as you launch out this coming year. Well, it leaves us with one more point, and that's to celebrate and to remember. It's fascinating that even as the nation, I don't know how many crossed over. Was it 1 million people? Some of you Bible scholars can tell us. It was a lot of people. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests stood, and carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight." And so these 12 stones were to be a memorial, it tells us in verse 7. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. Reminds me of that song we sang, which they changed the words a little bit, or else we skipped that song. "Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I've come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home." I think that's part of the song that we sang earlier, but I notice the words have been changed a little bit. What's an Ebenezer anyway? Well, Ebenezer speaks of that passage in 1 Samuel 7 where there was a stone that the prophet Samuel took and erected as an altar as a reminder of the victory that God gave people that particular day. And so these 12 stones are kind of like an Ebenezer. It's a reminder. It's a memorial of what God had done in their midst. I wonder what you've seen God do in your life. I wonder how you remember those things or whether you've got certain ways to remind you and to celebrate his faithfulness in your life. An Ebenezer, by the way, in Hebrew means stone of help. It's a recognition of what God did. And it's good for us as we reflect upon our lives and what God has done for us to look back and to celebrate and to remember how God has faithfully worked in our lives. Yesterday, we had a little devotion time with Emily, and I asked each one of us just to take 4 minutes to share a little story from something in our past, and each one of us did so. And it was an opportunity for Emily to get to know her mom and dad a little bit differently as we shared stories from our earlier days. I told her about a time when I was a student at Edinburgh University and hitchhiked over to Presque Isle and found myself sleeping under a tree on the beach there. It was kind of a picture of Roger searching for himself and trying to find out who he was at that particular point in life as a 19-year-old young man. And I remember throwing my sleeping bag among the branches there on the beach and waking up in the middle of the night. It started raining, and I remember having a nightmare and just being scared to death and finally getting up and walking through the woods out to the main road, and a deer jumped out and scared me some more. And then a park ranger pulled up and I hid behind a tree. And it was just an interesting evening for me as I was on a search for who I was at that particular time in life. So I shared that with Emily. She goes off to college in late August. Hopefully she won't be wandering around in Presque Isle or anywhere else on her own. Celebrate and remember what God has done in your midst. Well, I've probably talked enough, but I hope that the Lord's been talking as well, and that you can believe God for some really great stuff in this coming year. Don't think that it has to be big stuff. It might be big stuff. It might just be small stuff. It just might be the little miracles where you invite God in and believe Him to do things that you can't do. And then you've got a story to tell. And others can see that there's a God who is at work in your life. Verse 24 of chapter 4, we'll finish with that. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for Brother Joshua, who took the mantle of leadership from Moses and received all those wonderful promises from you to take courage, to not be fearful, discouraged. I don't know how many times you told him that in the passage, Lord. Several times. You said, be strong and be courageous. Don't be discouraged. The Lord is with you. I am with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Lord, we need those same promises. We need those same assurances in our own life. And we pray that as we take new steps in this coming year, that you'll help us to put our eyes on you, that we'll put our trust in Jesus Christ, experience the miracles that are waiting to unfold as we depend upon the living God. Make us a story, make us a parable to those around us that they might see your good hand and your mighty power working in us and through us. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.